inspecting them. Tim saw that the tongue had muscular movements like an elephant's trunk. The tongue drew back along the right side of the recess. It dragged against Lex's legs.
"Ew!"
Lex said. The tongue stopped. It curled, then began to rise like a snake up the side of her body.
"Don't move!"
Tim whispered. Past her face, then up along Tim's shoulder, and finally wrapping around his head. Tim squeezed his eyes shut as the slimy muscle covered his face. It was hot and wet, and it stunk like urine. Wrapped around him, the tongue began to drag him very slowly toward the open jaws.
"Timmy!"
Tim couldn't answer. His mouth was covered by the flat black tongue. He could see, but he couldn't talk. Lex tugged at his hand.
"Come on, Timmy!"
The tongue dragged him toward the snorting mouth. He felt the hot, panting breath on his legs. Lex was tugging at him, but she was no match for the muscular power that held him. Tim let go of her and pressed the tongue with both hands, trying to shove it over his head. He couldn't move it. He dug his heels into the muddy ground, but he was dragged forward anyway. Lex had wrapped her arms around his waist and was pulling backward, shouting to him, but he was powerless to do anything. He was beginning to see stars. A kind of peacefulness overcame him, a sense of peaceful inevitability as he was dragged along.
"Timmy!"
And then suddenly the tongue relaxed and uncoiled. Tim felt it slipping off his face. His body was covered in disgusting white foamy slime, and the tongue fell limply to the ground. The jaws slapped shut, biting down on the tongue. Dark blood gushed out, mixing with the mud. The nostrils still snorted in ragged breaths.
"What's he doing?"
Lex cried. And then, very slowly, the head began to slide backward, out of the recess, leaving a long scrape in the mud. And finally it disappeared entirely, and they could see only the silver sheet of falling water.
Control.
"Okay," Arnold said in the control room. "The Rex is down." He pushed back in his chair and grinned as he lit a final cigarette and crumpled the pack. "That did it. The final step in putting the park back in order. Now all they had to do was go out and move it."
"Son of a bitch," Muldoon said, looking at the monitor. "I got him after all."
He turned to Gennaro.
"It just took him an hour to feel it."
Henry Wu frowned at the screen. "But he could drown in that position."
"He won't drown," Muldoon said. "Never seen an animal that was harder to kill."
"I think we have to go out and move him,"
Arnold said. "We will," Muldoon said. He didn't sound enthusiastic.
"That's a valuable animal."
"I know it's a valuable animal," Muldoon said.
Arnold turned to Gennaro. He couldn't resist a moment of triumph.
"I'd point out to you," he said, "that the park is now completely back to normal. Whatever Malcolm's mathematical model said was going to happen, we are completely under control again."
Gennaro pointed to the screen behind Arnold's head and said, "What's that?" Arnold turned. It was the system status box in the upper corner of the screen. Ordinarily, it was empty. Arnold was surprised to see that it was now blinking yellow. Auxiliary power low. For a moment, he didn't understand. Why should auxiliary power be low? They were running on main power, not auxiliary power. He thought perhaps it was just a routine status check on the auxiliary power, perhaps a check on the fuel tank levels or the battery charge. "Henry," Arnold said to Wu, "look at this." Wu said, "Why are you running on auxiliary power?"
"I'm not," Arnold said.
"It looks like you are."
"I can't be,"